And thank you very much to Lewin and Bryce for
ruining. Friggin', if Bryce, look, no, sorry, Bryce is the good one. If Lewin isn't playing Katy Perry, he's playing ridiculous polka variations on Katy Perry songs. It's obscene.
Sort of, you know, emo versions, gypsy punk versions.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they run out of those and go back to Katy Perry original versions.
Yeah.
I'm expecting an I Kissed a Girl polka cover next week.
Okay, yeah. So can you just play the language warning? Do we have the language warning?
We do have the language warning. I can play it again if you like. All right.
Student radio may contain coarse language and adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Lewin, fuck you.
Hey,
calm down. This is Left, Right and Centre. I am Casey. That guy there is Tim, and the one that was just swearing was Chris. We're here to bring you an hour of fun, entertainment, and apparently abuse.
No, family-friendly fun.
Obscenities.
The three Fs.
Indecent language, even.
Yeah. All right, Tim, you've been going round for the last few hours. Talking yourself up, giving yourself titles. What's the latest title you've given yourself?
I don't know what you're talking about. We have on Left, Right and Centre, we employ a crack legal researcher, and this particular individual has discovered some interesting parts of the university's bylaws.
Tim's given himself
Tim,
a title.
Hang on. Casey, don't preempt this. Tim, who is the crack legal reporter?
That would be me.
Okay, Casey, sorry, you were right.
Tim's given himself the title Crack Legal Reporter. What have you got?
A researcher. Crack legal researcher.
Whatever.
Yes.
It right, Casey.
Sorry.
Anyway, I've been looking at the university's bylaws and have discovered that on the university grounds, it is actually illegal to swear.
Is it really?
Yes, according to Section 8.1 of the university bylaws, you cannot use indecent language or participate in disorderly conduct on university grounds.
Chris, you just did some quite vulgar swearing.
But this is a...
Can I remind you, this
is a community radio station, it's not...
It is, but in fact the building is owned by the University of Adelaide.
This particular area...
Here we go again.
You've ruined it. And any breach of the bylaws can be punished by a fine or a maximum of $200.
Fucking
hell.
Can I
citizens arrest Chris?
I don't think so. This isn't a criminal offence, Casey. Oh, okay. It's just a bylaw.
You can report me and I could be fined up to... $600
by an authorized person.
Well, I think I might get on the phone to security while we go to a song. I think you found some more stuff that we'll have later on the show, won't we?
Yep.
Student radio at O Week on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. As studious as you are.
Coming up on the show, all sorts of our favourites like Rapid Fire News and Game Show.
And also, we will explain Matteo's absence.
But that's later on.
That's later on. I want to explain my presence, because Tim mentioned he was going to call security and get me ejected.
No, that was Casey.
Oh, that was Casey.
I'll thank you not to put words in my mouth.
No, I think it was you, Tim.
No.
Or at least you were...
I made no allusions to security.
Okay, well, it was Casey, but during the break, Tim used the words shitsack and shit surfer. And Casey, I suppose, decided they didn't want to have to call security to take both of us away and do the show by himself. Is that
also Miles Benjamin, Anthony Robinson also swore during that song, so we'll have to take him away.
These bylaws are a real drag.
Speaking of drags,
Steve Fielding, our favourite Victorian senator. I think we've done
man or woman, Tim.
Sorry. I'm going to ignore that comment. Steve Fielding, I love Steve Fielding that so much. On my Google News feed, I've actually set up a separate feed that gives me all the news results for Steve Fielding. I like him that much. There has been a product released, I think, earlier this week, which is essentially a plastic gun that can be loaded with an alcoholic shot.
Hmm. And then but it doesn't have to be loaded with an alcoholic shot.
No, but that's
could
the
be
purpose.
Loaded with, you know, cordial.
Yeah, but it's usually alcoholic. And then you pull the trigger and it sprays into somebody's mouth, right? And Steve Fielding is very, very unhappy with this. And we've got a quote from Steve Fielding about it.
You get seeds in your socks, don't you? You know, those little furry ball seeds. And they stick to you, don't they? Stick to your socks. And you can be walking, I don't know, 3 miles, I don't know. And the seeds come off and then plants grow new places. Seed distribution, I think it's called.
It's really hard for us to come in and do our job, do a professional show like we try to do every week, when there's a Noel Fielding button on the panel that I confuse with the Steve Fielding panel that station management won't get rid of, won't even put a sign up, won't even cover it with tape, maybe, whenever there's a Steve Fielding news story, so that we don't accidentally press the...
And it's perfectly natural, case. So you see Fielding on the panel and you press it.
I press it, yeah. They're right next to each other, next to the turntables buttons.
There should even
I believe this is the third time you've pressed the Noel Fielding button instead of the Steve Fielding button.
I think it could have been more, Tim.
It's either the third or the fourth time that's happened. Anyway, can
it's
we actually have the Steve
Here's
Fielding
actually
quote.
Steve Fielding.
This is just crazy. A gun with alcohol. What signal is this sending our kids?
A gun with alcohol. And I should also point out that while he was doing this, giving the soundbite, doing the interview, he was waving the gun in the air a maniac.
And he sort of, there was another shot where he kind of rotated the package and, you know, sort of evaluated it from different angles.
Like a Price is Right model.
Yeah.
Yes. Price is Right model.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so Steve Fielding has obviously taken this as part of his continuing crusade against alcoholism in Australia.
And violent crime.
And violent crime, although he likes to draw a link between the two. Recently, this week, he wrote an article for website The Punch entitled Our Drunk Nation. And in this article, he bemoaned Australia's alcoholism, and he cited an example of somebody in his staff who had consumed 12 Jager bombs and then...
I believe he called them quote-unquote Jager bombs.
Yes, they air were quotes them. Yes, air quotes them. And the day after played a cricket match, and he recounted the story with wonder, and he's got a quote here, and I like this quote. It's no wonder people are getting beaten up around night spots where there is the dangerous cocktail of 12 Jager bombs and testosterone mixed together.
Well, there's his problem. He was drinking testosterone?
Casey informs me that testosterone's quite a salty addition to it.
It's really salty, and it's not. It's just a lethal combination.
Yeah, and look,
it's the testosterone.
The question you have to ask here is... sort of, you know, does his policy, does it, is it reasonable, or has he spiked the punch? You know, has he...
Anyway.
I think it's a reasonable question.
No, it's not. It's a poor pun, actually.
But there was a question before the pun.
Concealed within it. In this article, Steve Fielding essentially requested that those people who are able to comment on the punch, which you can comment on stories, provide solutions to Australia's drinking problem. We've got one from Lobie. I think this is a couple of representative ones. It says, every journey begins by taking the first step. The Alco Pops was that step, and you, sir, have delayed the journey. My favourite, though,
So that's not exactly a suggestion to help dealing with the drinking
problem. That's just complaining about Steve Fielding. And I'd say about 40% of them were just complaining about Steve Fielding. My personal favourite is MacArthur, and this will be the last one I say. The reason why there is so much booze-filled violence is not because we like to drink, but because we are a violent and warlike people.
Now, Tim, can I just stop you there? That sounds like a pretty reasonable statement. I mean, or at least it's understandable. You can make the argument that humans are violent and warlike, and therefore it's perfectly sensible.
Yeah, it's not the booze, it's just the violence.
But MacArthur goes on to finish, the government needs to declare war on other nations so that we can enjoy trampling our enemies.
Well, that makes sense. At least we're not fighting each other if we're fighting someone.
Yeah. No, Tim, it's like an outlet. It's like they say, when you're angry, don't shout at someone, punch the wall.
Punch your pillow.
No, the wall, Casey.
Or the wall, but that hurts.
That's the idea. It's like a, you know, you learn.
We had some other people coming up with more kind of sensible, maybe, suggestions, such as Todd Ziller, who writes, just enforce harsher penalties for assault. But we thought, none of these really, like, struck a chord. So we might come up with, me and Chris got together, Tim helped out for a bit. We brainstormed some of our own suggestions for Steve Fielding to deal with Australia's drinking problem.
One of my favourites was that we pass legislation requiring all alcohol to be Dr Pepper flavoured. I think that would do the trick.
No one likes
Dr Pepper, except Mateo, whose absence we will explain. He likes it, but that's because he's a bit crazy.
Well, so we might have to put him in a straitjacket.
We might have to actually make a custom flavoured thing for Dr Pepper drinkers. I don't think allow them to drink that, I think. What have we got up next, Casey?
We could encourage the public to drink responsibly.
Ah, that's a good one. Anyway, let's actually have a real solution.
That was a bit facetious, maybe. I think maybe we should, along with, when you sell someone a bottle of spirit, you should also sell them, make sure that's bundled with it, a cold shower, to sober them up.
That's a good question. A good suggestion, but can I just ask, does it actually come with a physical shower unit, or are you just given the water entirely?
Maybe just a bucket of water.
Just
a bucket of water you get with it and some ice.
Because that's the thing, I had practical concerns. You've now addressed
it. Liquor shops, they sell ice as well. So
Yeah.
It's easy solution.
Chris had a solution. Ban all alcoholic beverages that aren't vodka cruisers.
Why is that?
Well, because they're disgusting. It's the same as Dr. Pepper. It's the same effect. You could do either or.
Yeah, okay, but in this example, you're still allowing quite a popular and alcoholic beverage.
But it's disgusting. I think it needs an education platform. We need to educate people about why they're disgusting.
Okay,
fair enough. I thought that maybe go along the kind of the route of the smoking, the quit smoking campaigns. Maybe you just print a picture of a gangrenous foot on the side of the alcohol.
I think you'd have difficulty drawing the link, though, between drinking alcohol and gangrene.
Well, it just looks disgusting.
Yeah, well, and you think, I don't want that.
I don't want that. That's going to give me a gangrenous foot.
I mean, look...
Even better, maybe just print a picture of Steve Fielding on the side of the bottle.
Now, Tim, you have to admit that would work.
Oh, no. I like, you know, if there's a picture of Steve Fielding, it just makes me smile.
Perhaps what I think is the most plausible solution is that we could explain to children, you know, who are the drinkers of tomorrow. This is a prevention rather than cure solution. That alcohol.
Children, the beer drinkers of tomorrow.
Well, yeah, exactly. We've got to think about the future today. But anyway, we explain to them that alcohol is good for you and tastes like Brussels sprouts. No one will want a piece of that. We could do like a Clockwork Orange sort of situation where you expose them to something.
Have low,
but the issue is that,
yeah, exactly.
When you get to a certain age and you realise, oh, I'm going to be all health conscious and join a gym, then you decide that you're going to put up with Brussels sprouts.
I think Brussels sprouts are still the exception. They're not for the health conscious. No one wants to talk to. Everyone's got one of those.
And your final solution, Chris?
Well, I was thinking we could expose children. This is, again, working on the children, they're the future. Expose them to beer at a young age, because basically, you know, it just tastes horrible. It's a disgusting, foul drink.
Apart from exposing that Chris seems to really dislike all alcohols.
No, that's not true. I thoroughly enjoy wine.
And cider.
Wine, cider, gin. Gin is my favourite alcohol.
Okay.
Just saying.
I mean, it's a good suggestion, because children have a lot of taste buds. That's why they tend to like blander foods.
Yeah.
So if you expose it to them at that age, then they're really going to dislike beer rather than maybe let more.
I quite like beer. I mean, the first time I tried beer when I was like 8, I really enjoyed it.
If you were two, I don't know, Chris.
I'm just bemused by the fact that there are 3 of us here and 2 of us hate beer, and I'm not
hate
that
beer.
One.
But do you like it, Casey?
I love it.
Oh, well, dodging the question.
Casey, do you or do you not like beer?
I will. Should we go to a song? In fact, let's not go to a song, because we are actually over time a little bit. So let's go to this.
This is Student Radio at Adelaide Uni on 101.5.
Anthony. Oh, Chris.
What a voice.
God, what a voice. Unfortunately, my co-hosts decided to ruin that beautiful moment at the end there. Anthony and the Johnsons with, what was the song called? I've completely forgotten.
The song was called Hope There's Somebody.
Hope There's Somebody. Oh, how embarrassing. Off the beautiful 2005 album, I'm a Bird Now. Is that what it's called? This is terrible.
Yes, Tim, that's what it's called.
Okay. How embarrassing. What do we got now, Casey?
This. A Chinese basketball game has been abandoned amid violent rioting after Huizhou Chaoqing signed 3-time national slam dunk champion Hu Guang, whose official height is listed as taller than the maximum height allowed in the league. Huizhou and their scheduled opponents Shenzhen Kuriti both play in the Dream Basketball League, which was set up to allow players of shorter stature to compete on a level playing field. Hu reportedly bowed his head and bent his shoulders back when being measured, and after angry Shenzhen fans disrupted the final with continuous shouts of unfair, too tall, league officials were forced to admit they had limited ability and technique in measuring. Fans, angry at the game's cancellation, then proceeded to smash up 5 cars with Shenzhen number plates. So, guys, is this what's wrong with affirmative action?
Look, I think it is. I think it's a perfect case study in why that you just can't do this. And can I say, moreover, I think the notion of allowing shorter players to compete on a level playing field is a bit ridiculous. What are they doing?
Unfair, too tall. We should start calling that out at the next Adelaide United game we go to, Chris. Unfair,
Adelaide,
too tall.
For reference, Adelaide United is
I'm cutting it off
Adelaide's
talking about
football.
Sport now.
Okay.
There was a whole RFN story about sport. I'm sorry, I'm breaking the rules, but there was a whole RFN story about sport and tall people. This is the kind of thing I want to talk about.
A bikini, which is dissolvable in water, has caused outrage in the Killjoy Women's Rights Campaigner community. The saucy thong swimsuit, which is manufactured by a German company as part of their Get Naked line, has been marketed as the perfect way for dumped ex-boyfriends to get revenge, looks and feels like a real bikini, but disappears completely after a few seconds of immersion in water. According to Women's Rights Campaigner Rosemary Zapfel, it's an absolute insult to women that this has been invented. So guys, is this a matter of now you see it, now you don't?
That is appalling.
Yeah, it's very appalling.
Look, the thing is, I'm not convinced it is appalling. A, it turns out I've just discovered they also made one for men. So it's an insult to women. But also, the other thing is, the idea that it could be marketed as something for ex-boyfriends is ridiculous. Because what woman is going to wear a bikini given to them by someone they dumped?
Oh, well, there's...
And then,
a jilted lover.
Without, you know, examining it or washing it first. You're just not. You're going to be a bit suspicious. Sorry, I'm not in a relationship with you anymore, but I thought, hey, have a bikini.
I think Chris has found a good one, yeah. But I think there's certainly room there for practical jokes, I think. But no, shut up, Chris. That isn't a zing. What is wrong? That is not a zing moment. Oh, you didn't...
According to the Times of India, a 24-year-old Melbourne man is selling kisses for a dollar outside the Queen Victoria building. The man, Lachlan Christie, reports that he usually aims to make $5 to $10 every day. Mr. Christie, presently single, denies that he's fishing for a girlfriend, but explains that although many women are keen to give him money, lots do not want to kiss and are especially reluctant to kiss him on the lips. Mr. Christie claims to be inspired by the free hugs man, but isn't there a key difference, i.e. the fact that he's charging?
And also there's lips. I don't know whether there's tongue involved. I suppose that would be a bit too much.
Well, if they're not willing to kiss him on the lips, there's no tongue involved. Unless he's sort of licking their cheek or something, which would
I don't know. Maybe he could put a different slant.
Is this akin to prostitution?
I don't think so.
Like in a limited form?
No.
And also, Tim, can I put another proposal to you? If you were given a bikini by this man on the street, would you wear it?
No, I would wear no bikinis given to me by any men on any street.
What about women?
The same rules apply. I just wonder whether this man should go one step further. I mean, obviously, if people aren't keen to kiss him, but
so you're saying charge
keen to give
for
him
sex?
Money. No, Chris, if you'd let me finish.
Okay.
I'm not implying prostitution. I don't know why you're obsessed with that today, but it's all he's been talking about all day, prostitution. Anyway, I don't know why he doesn't, you know, threaten to kiss people and ask for money in exchange for not kissing.
Well, obviously,
them.
It's an unpleasant thing to do, kiss him. Otherwise, you know, they might well pay. Or at least they wouldn't be reluctant if they're willing to give him money.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's just the time inconvenience of having to stop and kiss someone.
That would be very inconvenient now that I think about it.
The environmental group SOS Mata Atlantica is running a campaign to get Brazilians to pee in the shower in order to reduce water consumption and protect the environment. The organisation, which is using the tagline, Pee in the Shower, Save the Atlantic Rainforest, explains that the environment is happy about the amount of water saved. Every flush of the loo uses around 12 litres of water. Flushing just once a day makes a total of 4,380 litres per year. While the organisation has attempted to allay hygiene concerns on the basis that pee is made up of 95% water and around 5% other substances such as urea and salt, they nonetheless advise participants to pee first and then shower. Guys, is this just a natural extension of the oft-quoted phrase, if it's yellow, let it mellow, if it's brown, flush it down?
What? I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that, Tim? Basically, it says if you urinate, leave it in there, because it's, you know, it's not a big deal. If you're defecating, then flush.
Thanks.
No, look, it does make a difference, Tim.
Okay, so
I can tell you I'm 100% in support of this.
Of peeing in the shower.
Well, look, if you can get a suitable distance from the, you know, from the point of entry, then I don't see what the problem is.
It's one of these,
I don't see what the problem is. It does make a difference. It'll be a minuscule difference. But nonetheless, why not?
I don't think
it could be fun.
I don't think there'd be many people out there, any listeners out there, who would disagree with me that pissing in the shower, that's a little bit wrong. But what is unfortunate here is that I can think of no great arguments
against
urinating in the shower, other than the fact that you are urinating in the shower.
But Tim, you can't say we shouldn't urinate in the shower because we shouldn't urinate in the shower.
If anybody out there has great...
It's just wrong.
No, if anyone has any problems with me saying it's just wrong to piss in the shower, feel free to call on 8303-5000. But otherwise, what's the next one, Casey?
We await your call eagerly. London retailers who sell violent or pornographic films to children will be immune from government prosecution for 3 months following the discovery of a bureaucratic blunder 25 years ago. Britain should have notified the European Commission of its Video Recordings Act of 1984, which is responsible for regulating the industry, but failed to do so. As boringly named Minister for Culture and Tourism Barbara Follett boringly explained, unfortunately, the discovery of this omission means that a quarter of a century later, the VRA is no longer enforceable against individuals in United Kingdom courts. Guys, would it be fair to say that these government bureaucrats are like schoolchildren in spelling class who remember to look, cover and write, but forget to check?
That was always my problem. I never remembered to check.
I didn't bother to cover.
You'd hope...
Casey, you'd cheat.
You're terrible. You'd hope that, you know, if they discovered a bureaucratic error like this, they'd go about altering the legislation or notifying the EU quietly rather
probably,
than broadcasting through, I assume,
leaked,
the BBC.
It probably just got leaked. Some journalist found
it. This is the problem with investigative journalism, just making it easier for pornographers.
That's your problem with Reuters.
Was it Reuters?
It was Reuters.
Oh, well, I tend to like Reuters usually, but they've let me down now.
A man who used a public toilet in a shopping centre had to be taken to hospital to have the seat removed from his backside after someone smeared it with glue. Police have asked witnesses to come forward after the man, aged 58, was publicly humiliated at being found stuck to the seat with fast-acting adhesive glue. Cairns local government official, the mystery novelesque named Di Forsyth, condemned the incident, concluding, "I'm disgusted that a... gentleman has had to go through that because someone thinks it's funny. It's a sick joke. What a fucking jerk, guys.
Well, look, sure, I mean, it's pretty juvenile, but I don't honestly see how it's all that different from any other form of toilet humour, you know? I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. It's a joke about toilets.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
So you're defending toilet humour?
Well, no, but I'm saying toilet humour can be very, very funny. I'm not defending toilet humour. Can I just say, I'm not defending toilet humour, but I would say if you're allowed to make toilet humour, then it's fine. And the second thing is, how they're asking for witnesses. I mean, is it as if they expect people have looked over the cubicle and sort of spied in?
They saw the guy putting the glue on the seat.
Yeah, but the cubicle was closed, wasn't it? He's not going to do that.
Maybe
with the
they door saw
open.
A guy leave the cubicle with a thing of super glue.
I'm predicting he was wearing a trench coat.
Is that why you keep super glue in a thing?
Yeah,
just a thing of super glue.
Tim, if you think toilet humour can be funny, let's see what happens next week when I bring in my barrage of fart sound effects
for the entire show. Casey, it was as he does types fart into Google.
I've done nothing of the sort,
and he discovered a page just full of maybe 20 fart sound effects, and he's been mucking around with it in the studio the last 2 weeks, and he's obviously keen to give it a try. But I hope we get callers on 8303 5000 and say, "Don't do this, Casey. Don't do it." I'm done now.
Reuters reports that 4 people in the past 2 months have been trampled to death by cows, which has caused the UK's main farmers' union to issue a warning about the dangers of provoking the normally docile animals. Stop laughing about dead people. The National Farmers' Union explained that people are at particular risk when calves are present and walkers are accompanied by dogs, which can cause cows to become aggressive and charge. Isolated incidents are or part of an orchestrated plot to wipe humanity off the face of the earth, guys.
Who put you on the laughing gas, Tim?
Yeah.
Can I... No, no, you...
I'm sorry, I'm just in a good mood. Rampaging cows.
Yeah, animal invasion.
Look, I am actually quite worried about this. I think we've featured in Rapidfire News several stories about, you know, animals doing all sorts of things. Elephants stealing lunch. Invasions of kangaroos and all that
sort
of stuff.
What did the penguins do?
I don't know, but they did something. And the thing is, next, these cows will actually get guns, Tim.
Oh, good. You had to make that joke. I was hoping we'd steer clear of the cows with guns.
Definitely
weapons.
Not.
Of course not.
You'd better get ready to use your loaf if you want to get your hands on some bread, according to the Times of India. In the course of the next 3 months, a cluster of East London ATMs will allow customers to withdraw cash using prompts in Cockney rhyming slang.
Aww.
Customers will, for instance, be able to use an ATM allowing customers to enter their Huckleberry Finn instead of their PIN, and rather worryingly informs them that the machine is reading their bladder of lard at a prompt about examining their card. Money becomes bread and honey, which in turn is shortened to bread. Similarly, head becomes a loaf of bread and then simply just loaf. One user, the female and male named Gabriella Alexander, said that the machine was fun, but added that withdrawing sausage and mash made her a little uneasy. Guys, this makes me think, should we offer a version of the podcast entirely in Cockney rhyming slang?
No.
Look, I think it's something to consider. I think we should put it on the drawing board.
No.
We have a drawing board?
We do have a drawing board. It's out the back.
Listen, if you guys...
Okay, if we don't, I'm going to start a drawing board and put it on that.
We just had an RFN story about Cockney rhyming slang, and neither of you guys have taken the opportunity to actually use any Cockney rhyming slang. What do you think our chances are?
That would be because I don't know any Cockney rhyming slang, but I'm willing to read up on it.
There's one about apples, Tim.
Are there definitive dictionaries of Cockney rhyming slang?
Probably.
I hope so.
It'd make it easy for you, Casey. You can do the show next week in Justin Cockney rhyming slam.
And fart sounds,
yeah.
Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper was forced to apologise after his office put out a press release which misspelt the name of a provincial capital he was visiting. I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. Lequaluit. Missing a U as Lequaluit. The addition of the extra U may seem insignificant, but in actual fact, it changed the meaning of the town's name to Unwiped Bottom. Sandra Inutik, an official at the Office of the Languages Commission of Nunavut, declared that it's not exactly a nice term. So, guys, the PM spun this as a lesson to children about the dangers of spelling mistakes. Does he have a point? May it caution us to always dot our T's and cross our U's?
Or just hit F7. That's my solution to everything.
F7 is not the right button.
No, it is. I don't know. We use
Cassie, what happens if you press F7?
We're going to play the song that we heard earlier.
No. Don't do that. F7, you know, I don't know what communist word processing programs you use, but on Microsoft Word, F7 is spell check. And, you know, I like to think that spelling is not an important skill in modern society because you can just use a computer.
Tim, can I just point out that a spell check probably won't have the name of a provincial town in it?
Yeah. No. Zing. A good one will.
It was a very low-key zing.
Yeah, that was actually a zing. That's good.
Okay.
think it's about time for a song, maybe.
I think it's just about before time for a song. We do, though, I'm just going to make a shout out to my friend Michael and tell him that the news he gave me is going to make me happy for the rest of the week.
Tim, we don't do that. It's very unprofessional.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to have to eject you from the show. Normally, I'm in the habit, as you might be aware, of playing songs I really hate, but this time I'm going to play one I actually like. Particularly because its opening line is probably the best opening to an album I've ever heard. It's Random Rules by Silver Jews.
And remember, coming up later, we're going to explain why Matteo's not here.
American Water was the album. Silver Jews were the artists, although, but it's a band. And the song was Random Rules.
And I'd just like to shout out to my ex-friend, Michael. I will never forgive you for this.
And, Tim, I think you wanted to say but didn't have the courage. And I'm not saying this, Michael. I think that was it was great. Fuck you. That's on behalf of Tim.
But now you're incurring this $200 fine.
But I've already done it, like, you know, 4 or 5 times. What's another 200?
Moving on. Big news this week.
Big news this week. Ted Kennedy, long-serving senator in the Democratic Party. I think the third longest-serving senator.
Mm.
He died. And I went to a birthday party over the weekend, a 22nd, it was a split one.
Hang on, okay, so on the back of T. Kennedy's death, you're going to tell an anecdote.
I am going to tell an anecdote, that's right. And the theme was literal take on a band name, right? And I couldn't think of anything until I thought of Dead Kennedy. So I made a John Kennedy mask, a Ted Kennedy mask.
Did you see the face that Tim just pulled?
I did, and that's why I'm telling this anecdote. And of course, a Bobby Kennedy mask. And I, you know, one person said to me that it was too soon, but I'd like to know what you think, Tim.
Too soon.
Is it too soon?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I must say I disagree.
Okay.
Oh, that's all I have to say.
Yep. I'm happy with that.
We can move on.
Let's move on to this, I guess.
Haircuts. When were they invented? Presumably when some careless caveman accidentally had his hair pulled out by some heavy machinery. One can only assume that as he cried out in agony with the intent of rallying some fellows to the cause of finding his scalp, the others mistook his deranged warbling for cries of delight, and thus was born the desire to be fashionable via the medium of hair. And so we move to the state of hair in the modern day. Since the mid-12th century, to choose a period of history at random, hair has become rather more of a problem for the modern-day man or woman, not least of all because we weren't around in the mid-12th century. Now everyone needs to style their hair in keeping with the most popular trends, lest their friends find out they're sporting a beetle cut and unfriend them from their headbook. So with haircuts as large a part of modern life as they are, what happens when one is denied the simple pleasure of having one? With no option when my hairdresser was admitted to hospital, I decided to find out. At first, I noticed no change, but at about the 4-week mark, I noticed my hair was growing longer than it would have done if I'd had it cut. At present, it has been 4 months since I had a haircut, and apart from the aforementioned difference in hair length, there have been no new developments. But what would happen if I were denied a haircut forever, or even worse, for years? With no way of finding out, I can only make educated guesses based on my experience so far. So I really foresee only a few changes, namely longer hair, a longer time since I last had my hair cut, and a greater avoidance of milk, though that last one may be a coincidence. On a serious note, however, ridiculous social laws notwithstanding, haircuts have very little bearing on everyday life. But this isn't the case when it comes to sheep. Can you imagine what would happen if a sheep's hairdresser was admitted to hospital? That's right, some sort of headless behemoth of wool and lanolin. Imagine heading outside to feed your sheep one day, only to find that they hadn't been hair cut for years, and you are instead greeted by 12 huge balls of wool rolling towards you to collect their sheep food. Like a rabbit running a combine harvester, the whole situation would be fraught with problems, though there would be a certain advantage in having your balls of wool come to you when you called them if you were an 80-year-old woman named Enid. To try and bring this mess to a conclusion, let's recap. Haircuts, though unimportant, are quite important, especially in order to prevent impairment to sheep. At this point, very little useful ground seems to have been covered. So tune in next week when we'll discover what it would be like if sharks had hair.
And thank you for that little piece. It's time for our favourite segment now.
Game show.
It occurs to me that I probably declare every one of our segments our favourite segment.
Casey's Reign of Terror is back.
Today we're playing a very easy game that I haven't come up with a name for yet. Maybe if you've got one after the show, I can retrospectively name it. If you,
you could call it
a
game show.
It's a good default title. We're doing a little game, a singing contest, in effect. What I'm going to do...
Casey, can I stop you?
Yeah?
I actually have a really sore throat, and today I've eaten about 67... what are they called? Strepsils.
Or any other lozenge would be just as good.
I know, but I... Oh, shit. No, look, they were disgusting. I wouldn't recommend them to anyone. I certainly wouldn't advise anyone to buy them. I think they're terrible. Just to say, that's part of the problem. That's part of why my voice is so shit. It just hasn't worked.
So you might struggle through this game.
Yes.
What I'm going to do is... I've got... pages here in front of me. I've got the lyrics to certain songs.
Oh dear.
I'm going to play those songs, but at a certain point during the song, I'm going to cut the song out. You have to continue singing without the music there behind you, and when I bring the music back in, your job is to still be in time with the music. So while I'm going to cut it out, you have to keep singing, and when I bring it back in, you have to be at the same point in the song as the actual song.
I'm not
going
to know the lyrics to this song.
Well, I'm giving it to you on paper.
Oh.
So I've got the lyrics for you to make it a little bit easier. Chris, I'm going to start with you. Your first song is Food Glorious Food from the musical Oliver. Are you ready?
Yes.
There's not a crust, not a crumb. Can we find,
oh, my mentor.
Can,
yep.
Oh. Can we borrow or cash?
But there's nothing to stop us. When we all close our eyes and imagine. In food, glorious food, hot sausage and mustard. While we're in the mood. Oh, God. While we're in the mood. Oh, God. Peas pudding. Rich gentlemen have it, boys, in digestion.
So I'm gonna pull you down there.
Can I just say, Tim is actually almost invariably bound to win this song, like this competition, given that he can sing and I have a sore throat. So, yeah. Tim, stop complaining about unfair competitions.
No, believe you me, Casey will find a way of ruining it.
This is a fair game. This is a fair game.
Can I say also what ask you, like you never about. Inflict me singing on the listeners again?
I do not promise that. Let me just, hang on, I have to do some subtraction in my mind now. All right, this is your song, Tim. You're doing Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, God.
You ready?
On the contrary, there's a very good word. Am I right, Bert?
I'm not happy with this singing on radio thing.
Right. It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious.
You're supposed to be singing.
If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious.
I'm not doing the diddle-dum-diddle-die stuff. This bit I'm not doing. I'll do the next bit. I was afraid to speak when I was just a lad. My father gave me a nose to tweak and told me I was bad. But then one day I learned a word and saved me H-ing nose, the biggest word I ever heard, and this is how it goes.
All right, that was, so that was pretty good. That's how you
look,
got
I told
it.
You Tim was going to win.
Well, you've got one more song.
Oh, what the...
Oh, no, Tim, two songs in game show, two rounds.
Imagine having two rounds.
I haven't warmed up my voice. I'm slouching
that was,
my
that's
seat.
Part of the chat. That's part of the challenge. Chris, your second song is the theme to Happy Days.
Oh, my God. I've never seen an episode of Happy Days. Here we go. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums. Ready to race you. Oh, these days are old. What? The lyric sheet's wrong, Casey. Days are old.
They're not wrong,
share them with me. Oh, baby. Oh, I thought you faded it down.
I'll bring it down now, just to save you the embarrassment.
Those lyrics were they correct, Casey?
Yes, they were.
Really?
Yes.
I thought there was a line... Okay.
Is Tim going to win this game?
Tim's definitely going to win this game. I don't see I can lose.
Yeah, we'll find a way.
Your final
unless you
song,
give me
Jim.
That... there's no third round.
Your final song is the theme to Doctor Who.
No. No, look, I refuse to take part in this. There are levels to which I will not...
If he won't,
I will not
Casey, stoop. Can we do it?
I refuse. I'm not going to sit here going dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum.
Look, Tim,
all right?
Tim, can I just say, you're in a winning position, and it will be extremely dum-de-dum-de-dum of you not to at least do this, because you... The only way I think you could possibly lose...
Down.
I refuse to take part in this. Oh, yeah. So what, now you're going to give him bonus points for taking on my one. For getting into it. I'm not going to scat. I refuse to scat on radio.
Oh, I'm out of tune. I'm obviously out of tune. I mean, I'm out of sequence as well.
Yes.
I think we know who really cares about this game, yeah?
Here we go.
If you'd merely taken part, you would have won this game.
Tim, you heard my voice.
I'm not going
to scat on radio. It's impossible to lose this conversation. I sound like a fucking banshee, Tim. There goes 1,000. That's 1,000, by the way, the count.
Well.
Maximum 1,000. It could be minimum, 5 cents. So, be generous.
Guys, swear jar. So, Tim, you're refusing to take part in game show this week, which means I have no choice but to disqualify you.
Oh.
Well, you did really well in the first round, but if you refuse to play, how am I supposed
to... I'm not scatting on radio. There's not even lyrics to that song. All his songs had lyrics. This is an outrage.
Tim, look,
this
can
is
I just
an
point
absolute
out, I successfully
disgrace.
Did... Well, not successfully, but I sort of successfully did your verse of the second song. Mm. It can be done.
You at least attempted
it. And it's very easy. You don't... There's no way of... It's like, don't forget the lyrics. There's no way you're going to forget the lyrics to that song.
Yeah, they're given to you. All you have to do is get the timing. It's a game of timing, and you...
Do you guys remember in training when they told us no scatting on radio?
That's not a rule. Chris.
Game show.
It's
good to win for the fifth or sixth time. But I'd have to say in this case, I think it's not entirely justified. I think Tim, or at least I think it's justified in the sense that Tim didn't take part.
He didn't take part.
He's thrown the victory away. He's like the hare.
Absolutely.
And I'm the tortoise, but I can't sing.
I absolutely
agree.
He's
a hare that can sing. I'm a tortoise that can't sing. You were napping by the side of the road, and I crawled slowly over.
You had it in the bag.
Let's go to this, guys.
Yeah, let's go to this. I'm really excited about Live Music Fest.
We don't get in the live.
We don't have a band on Live. Next week is Live Music Fest. Most shows have live bands, including... Or like shows like The Range, shows all the shows before us, Breakdowns will have them. We don't have a band, but that's all right, because we're going to have Tim singing.
He's
going to sing all of our songs live next week.
Okay. Yep, let's just do that. That's a great idea, yeah.
Yep. You have more bylaws, though, for us, quote-unquote, crack legal reporter.
Researcher. I think
whatever.
I think I corrected you about that earlier. Section 8.39... of the section 8.3 says, of course, disorderly conduct is punishable by a $200 maximum $200 fine. Disorderly conduct includes but not limited to, and it lists a whole bunch of things. And 8.39 says, disturbing, frightening, shooting, or throwing missiles at, or otherwise attempting to capture or kill any bird, fish, or animal on university grounds.
And that's why the fishing club never caught on.
Mm, yeah, because I don't know how many fish there were.
The shooting club.
There are plenty of fish in the pond.
I think they're all dead.
The pond? Which pond?
The Barsmith Pond.
There isn't a Barsmith.
It's on the fifth level of the Barsmith Library where I work.
What?
You've never been to the fifth level.
What, your library employees get your own little pond?
Yeah,
is that it?
It's like a wading pool.
But you're not allowed to fish there.
No, you're not allowed to fish because that's against, policy.
Are we allowed to swat flies?
No, clearly not. A fly is, in fact, an animal, and an attempt to kill an animal. Yeah.